Lord, we just sang that we give you our hearts and that we give you all of our plans. Lord, I pray that that would be reality in our hearts, that we really mean that when we sing words like that. Lord, if we give you all of our plans and we are submitting ourselves to what you want for our lives, and we ask that you would work your program, your purpose, your plan in our lives, because your plans are the best. And Father, I pray for each one here tonight that you would bless and that you would challenge, that we would all consider where we fit in the body. In Jesus' name, amen. It's been several weeks since I've been with you on Wednesday nights. I kind of feel like it's a brand new start. But actually, we're right in the middle of something that I would consider to be very, very important here on Wednesday night, and a very important study. We're examining and we're studying the spiritual gifts of the Holy Spirit. And I think that's an important task because every single Christian is guaranteed at least one spiritual gift. And I think it's important that we as the people of God know for sure, without a doubt, what our gift is. That's so important for us so that we know where we fit in the body of Christ, the role that we're supposed to play. And so we're going through every spiritual gift on Wednesday nights. We're slowing down. My prayer is that all of us would discover how God has gifted each one of us and where we fit in the body of Christ. We've been camped out in Ephesians chapter 4. And actually, we're using it, verse 11, sort of as a launching pad, a verse to take us to other spots. But let's read it again. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11. It says, "And he, Jesus himself, gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ." Now, as I've told you before, in that passage, we're not necessarily dealing with spiritual gifts. This passage deals with gifted men and women that God has called, raised up, and equipped to fulfill specific roles within the body of Christ, specific offices, specific ministries. And there are Christians that are called by the Lord to fill these spots. There is the apostle. We've studied the apostle. My take on the apostle is that is the modern day missionary. There are missionaries, modern day sent out ones, which is all that word apostle means. In the body of Christ, there are missionaries. We've looked at the prophet. A prophet is a servant of the Lord who foretells or forthtells the word of the Lord. This is someone who communicates a message from the Lord to a body or to a Christian or to even a nation that would be pertinent to that specific circumstance, whatever it might be. But it's someone who speaks forth revelation from the Lord. I believe there are prophets. I believe they exist. And I believe it's an important role. Then last time we looked at the evangelist. The evangelist is somebody who has been spiritually equipped and anointed to share the gospel message in a very powerful, effective way. The evangelist leads many non-believers to Christ. But the evangelist also is gifted in teaching all Christians in the body of Christ how to effectively share their faith. We looked at the evangelist. And without a doubt, I know and I believe that there are apostles, prophets, and evangelists in our fellowship. Perhaps even in this room. Important roles for someone to play, and I'm asking you to consider what you've been gifted, what your calling is. There's one more position in this list in Ephesians chapter 4, and that is the pastor teacher. The position of a pastor teacher. There are some that break that into two positions. There are some that say that there is the pastor and then the teacher, but I don't believe so. I believe the Greek language makes it clear that it's speaking of one position, the pastor slash teacher. The pastor dash teacher. God has called some men within the body of Christ to serve as pastor teachers. This is a role that I'm familiar with because I believe that God has called me to be a pastor teacher in the body of Christ. What does a pastor teacher do? What are the responsibilities of a pastor teacher? Well, you'll get different answers to that question depending upon who you ask. There are some that say pastors do nothing. All they do is work 1 hour a week, Sunday morning. The rest of the week they play golf. That's not a pastor. Although, unfortunately, the behavior of some pastors might give weight to some people thinking that way. Then there are others that say a pastor of a local church is to do everything in the local church across the board. The pastor does it all. The pastor does all the ministry. He does everything, and the pastor's job is to please everybody all the time. That is unrealistic. But you'd be surprised how many people actually believe that. And I've met them here at this fellowship. I've even had them pressure me into that sort of mentality. A number of years ago, I was given the description of a perfect pastor, one who pleases everybody in the church. And I look at it quite a bit. It's funny to me. The perfect pastor preaches only 20 minutes, but thoroughly expounds the word. He condemns sin, but never hurts anyone's feelings. He works from 8 a.m. to 10 p.m., doing every type of work from preaching in the pulpit to janitor work. He makes $100 a week, wears good clothes, buys good books regularly, has a nice family, drives a nice car, and gives $50 a week to the church. He stands ready to give to any good cause also. His family is completely model in deportment, dress, and attitude. He is 26 years old and has been preaching for 30 years. He's tall, short, thin, heavyset, handsome, has one brown eye and one blue eye. Hair parted in the middle, left side dark and straight, right side blonde and wavy. He makes 15 calls a day on church members, spends all of his time evangelizing the unchurched, and is never out of the office. Totally unrealistic. But many people believe that that is what a pastor is to be. A pastor is not to be that. That is not the job of the pastor. What does the Bible say about the responsibilities of a pastor teacher? That's what we want to know, and that's what I want you to consider tonight. I understand that I'm opening myself wide open tonight, but at least hopefully you will evaluate me as a pastor biblically, according to what the Bible says a pastor should be and do. And then I also want you all to listen tonight to this, because I believe there might be pastors in this room. There are those who have shared with me their desire to go into the ministry as pastors, and you need to know what you're going to get into. And then also, just so everyone's included, please understand that all of us can be like pastors in unofficial ways in our lives. If you're the leader of anybody in your business or your job or as a parent or as a teacher or an instructor, you're going to learn some things tonight about how to effectively lead in that type of a capacity. So very quickly, let's look at the pastor tonight. And first, I want you to see the title that's given to this position. Verse 11. He gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers. The title for this position is pastor. Greek word, poimen. Literal translation, shepherd. A pastor is a shepherd. A shepherd in the biblical sense of the word, Old Testament, New Testament, speaks of someone who was a shepherd of flocks of animals. That person who would take care of sheep, goats, a herd of animals, whatever. A pastor is a spiritual shepherd of a spiritual flock. A pastor is called by the Lord to be the presiding manager, officer, director of a local Christian assembly. The pastor is to be the spiritual caretaker, keeper of a local Christian assembly. The pastor is called by the Lord to be the spiritual guide for a local church body. That's my job. That's what I'm to do. The other word there you see is teacher, the pastor teacher. A teacher is somebody who instructs, who gives understanding. And for the pastor teacher, his area of expertise is to be spiritual truth. And I believe that all spiritual truth is found in the written word of God, in the Bible. And so a pastor teacher is to spend his time teaching the written word of God, teaching Bible studies, teaching the Bible. What group does a pastor work with? Who do pastors normally hang out with? Who do we work with? Christians. A pastor spends most of his time with Christians. Again, look at our text. He gave some to be pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints for the work of ministry. This is especially true with a pastor. A pastor works with saints. The word saint means set apart. Don't let it scare you. But you do need to know that as a Christian, you are a saint. You are. I know it seems weird. You know, there are actually saints and sinners in the body of Christ. But you are a saint. You are a Christian. And the pastor works with saints, with Christians. This is what I do. I spend time with you. I spend time with the Christians that call Calvary Chapel Sun City their church home. And a pastor develops an intimate, really, relationship with the people at his church. The pastor and that office is different from the other ones, like the apostle, the prophet, the evangelist. Those guys, they will typically deal a lot with non-believers, especially the evangelist and the apostle. They're missions, they're doing outreach, they're doing evangelism. They'll work with non-believers a lot of times. As a pastor, I don't. I work with believers. Those other three offices are also more itinerant, especially in the New Testament. These were guys that would travel all around and go from church to church, city to city, planting churches, doing evangelism, doing different outreaches. They never really stayed put anywhere. Not so with a pastor. A pastor stays put with a local assembly of Christians and is committed to their spiritual development for the long haul. For a long time. You need to know that if you're going to be a pastor. And just so you know, it is kind of special in my position, because the church that I'm serving at really does feel like my family. You know, I got to be honest with you guys. I would never have picked El Paso. Ever. I'm amazed. I have three children that were born in El Paso. I never would have guessed that. Not saying that El Paso's bad or anything. It just, 9 years ago, that was so, I never dreamed. Even when Kim and I moved here, we weren't all that sure about it. But you know, Kim and I were just talking the other night, and this place has truly become home. Because the church here has become my family, because I've been here for a long time, and I know many of you. And you know, something happens to you when you dedicate all those babies. Or when you do baptisms. I've buried some of your relatives. I've married some of you, performed your wedding ceremony. I've been there for you in different capacities, in intimate ways, and it's been a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful experience. It's a family sort of thing, and this is the dynamic that takes place in the pastorship. They stay put, they work with Christians, and there's a real, genuine relationship that's born. What are the results of a pastor's work? After a pastor has been working in a body, in a group, what should you expect to see if that pastor is doing their job?
Again, look at our text here. He gave some to be pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. A pastor's responsibility is to equip Christians for ministry. That's my job. A pastor's job is not to do all the ministry. A pastor's job is to equip the people to do the ministry. A pastor's job is also to work to edify the body of Christ in general. That is, build it up, make it healthy. The job of the pastor is also to work with people so that they become complete in Christ, as we read, and becoming complete in Christ is becoming mature in Christ Jesus. My job is to work with Christians until they have become mature in Christ Jesus, from the youngest of believers all the way up through every spiritual stage of development, to a point where every believer becomes complete and mature in Christ. That's the job of a pastor. Wherever a truly called or anointed pastor has been, you had better see spiritual progression. Among the Christians that attend that fellowship and the church in general. If that's not seen, then that person is not a pastor or actually not doing the job of the pastor. They've gotten off track. There's a wonderful analogy of a pastor that you get from World War II. There were certain pilots in World War II that were called shepherds. A shepherd was a pilot who guided another pilot whose plane was partially disabled back to the base or carrier by flying alongside him to maintain visual contact. That is the perfect analogy of what a pastor does. A pastor should be flying himself in the Lord and mature, but then working so that all the other Christians in that fellowship begin flying and soaring as well towards spiritual goals, towards spiritual maturity in Christ Jesus. That should be the passion of every pastor. And I got to tell you, there is nothing more thrilling than watching a Christian begin to soar in Christ Jesus. That is wonderful. When you begin to see other Christians in your body, in that fellowship, begin to take on other responsibility and watch them grow up in the Lord, there's nothing better. Watching Christians beginning to share their faith with others, there's no greater joy than that in the heart of a pastor. And that's the goal. My job is to get you in contact with Jesus Christ and growing and following hard after Him. Any pastor that's trying to get people to follow after them as a pastor is out of line. All pastors should be working hard to make sure that Christians are seeking after Jesus, the good shepherd, the good pastor. That's the goal of the pastor. And by the way, for all of us, in whatever position of leadership that we might have, be it as a boss over people at your work, or chairman of some committee, or as a parent. In the same way, your desire should be to watch those people that you have influence over get closer to Jesus Christ. Amen? Isn't that what matters the most? That people get in contact with the Lord. This is how you would evaluate a pastor. Now, I want to go to another passage very quickly on the pastor. If you turn to 1 Peter chapter 5. Peter eventually became a good pastor. Don't you love Peter? I mean, he's got to be one of the most lovable characters in the New Testament. I mean, just the things that he did in the New Testament, you think, why did Jesus even choose that guy? You know? And remember, Peter thought he would be the greatest of all and he'd never let the Lord down. And what did he do? He denied the Lord three times. But eventually Peter would become a pastor. And in fact, even in John chapter 21, when Jesus restored Peter, he told Peter that he would be a pastor. Remember, he asked Peter three times, "Do you love me?" And Peter would say yes. And Jesus would say to Peter, three times he said,
If you love me, feed my lambs, tend my sheep, and feed my sheep. And that's exactly what a pastor should do. Peter became a great pastor, a great shepherd. And notice what he says to the elders, pastors, shepherds of the local church that he was writing to. In 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 1, he says, "The elders who are among you, I exhort, I who am a fellow elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ and also a partaker of the glory that will be revealed. Shepherd the flock of God, which is among you, serving as overseers, not by compulsion, but willingly, not for dishonest gain, but eagerly, nor as being lords over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, Jesus, you will receive the crown of glory that does not fade away." Peter told the elders in the local church in his day, your job is to shepherd the flock. And again, that is the job of a pastor, to shepherd the flock. That's a general statement. We need to add some meat to it. And I think you can, if you look what Jesus said about being a shepherd, and if you look at what a shepherd does, literally, you can find out exactly what responsibilities a pastor has. And I believe that a pastor has four basic responsibilities in shepherding the flock. Responsibility number one, and the priority. A shepherd is to feed the flock. A shepherd is to feed the flock. That was the most important thing that a shepherd would do for sheep. He went out and he tried to find them good pasture. So they got good meals and they were nourished and they thrived. The primary job of a pastor is to feed the sheep. And by that, I mean the primary job of a pastor is to teach God's word to the people of God. Understand that that is my primary responsibility. That is my job. The word of God is spiritual food for us, correct? The word of God tells us how to please the Lord. The word of God equips us for every good work, it says in 1 Timothy. So the pastor teacher's main responsibility is to teach the word of God to the people of God. And folks, that's what I do. That's my main responsibility. And as you know, we take that very seriously here at this fellowship, don't we? I believe that the entire Bible is to be taught, both old and new. We believe that the Bible is to be taught in a systematic way. So we go through books of the Bible, one verse at a time, verse by verse, chapter by chapter. And Calvary Chapel is basically known for what's called expository teaching. How many of you have heard of that term, expository teaching? There are three types of Bible studies that really you can give. The first one is called a topical Bible study, and that's where you just give a teaching on a topic. Like I would come to the Bible with, say, the topic of love and just look up verses in the Bible that have to do with love and tell you what the Bible has to say about love. That's topical. Then there's textual sermons or Bible studies. And that's where you do go over a passage in Scripture and you just get the main points from that Scripture. Then there's expository teaching where you get everything out of that text. The main points, the sub-points, and the sub-sub-points. All of it in detail. Expository teaching is an attempt to teach the pure written word of God as it is, adding nothing else to it. That's what I try to do. And in all reality, I think most of the Bible studies that I give here sit somewhere between textual and expository teaching. Occasionally I'll do topic, but not often. Now, I want you to understand something. That takes study. That takes time. The bulk of my week, and you just picture this in your mind, picture Terry in a room, closed. 7 or 8, 9 books opened up on the desk. Other books around me. Laptop open. 40 books open on the laptop. Study, study, study. Prepare, prepare, prepare. Bible studies to give to you. That's what I do. That's the bulk of my job. You need to know that if you feel called to be a pastor. I certainly believe that that is the primary responsibility. And it takes an odd sort of person. People ask me, what's it like to be a pastor and study for that? How many of you remember in school doing research reports? Remember all the research you had to do? And remember the dreaded research oral reports? Where after you did all your research and wrote your report, then you delivered it to your class orally? I do that twice a week. Twice a week. That's my job. Only I do it in the Bible. It's not glamorous. But that's what it takes. See, people think a pastor just, you know, kind of stands up and wings it. You don't. You study, you prepare. And actually, the better it comes off, the more the person probably studied. When I'm going to say it was about 10 years ago, I felt called to be a pastor. And I wasn't sure if I was. And so I did something with the Lord. Maybe, have you ever, sometimes we do funny things with the Lord and we sort of demand a sign. Have you ever demanded a sign? And I actually had been studying about various Bible characters who had received dreams from the Lord. I lay on my pillow one night. And I said, Lord, if you want me to be a pastor, give me a dream tonight. This night. I went to sleep, and I did have a dream. It was a little confusing, but I had one. It was confusing to me because I was expecting a dream of me in a pulpit teaching. In my dream, I was in a library, sitting at a desk, surrounded by books. And I woke up and I said, huh? And I was confused. All right, Lord, was that confirmation or what? And now looking back, I see how gracious the Lord was with me. He gave me the dream. And in the dream, he showed me the bulk of my time. That's what you do. I have many times likened myself to a spiritual chef. I am in the kitchen most of the week making meals. And the teaching of the Word of God is the priority because it also relates to the other responsibilities of a pastor. There's another responsibility. Responsibility number two would be to care for the sheep. A shepherd, you know, would care for the sheep. If the little sheep broke its leg or something or got sick or if sheep wandered off, it was
the job of the shepherd to go take care. And that is without a doubt an important responsibility of a pastor. A pastor is to take care of the people at his fellowship as best as he can. And so the job of a pastor is many times to spend time praying for people. When people are sick, the Bible says, have them come before the elders of the church and they'll lay hands on the sick and pray for them. That involves hospital visitation. That involves all sorts of things. The pastor should also stand ready to help people with needs in the body of Christ, financial needs, other sorts of needs that come along in life, benevolence, those sorts of things. The pastor should also stand ready to give spiritual counsel to people, to Christians who are going through hard times. And that is absolutely an important responsibility of the pastor for a church. Now, I got to tell you, when we were at the YMCA with like 50 of us, that was easy. It was easier to do that. As things have grown here at our church and more people have come, and a lot of you I don't know very well, and the demand has become a lot greater. There are more people to visit in the hospital. There are more people that need counseling, etc., etc. And then it becomes my job to raise up other pastors and other elders in the body of Christ that can help us meet the needs of praying for the sick, of giving spiritual counsel, etc., etc. But that is also an important job of a pastor. Third responsibility of a pastor, protect the sheep. A shepherd in those days had a rod, a staff that also behaved as a rod. And their job was to take care of any wolves or beasts that came along to get the sheep. And that is a very important responsibility for a spiritual shepherd, for a pastor, to protect Christians from false doctrine. To warn Christians about false prophets, false teachers. And this is something that a pastor must always be on the lookout for and must always be careful. Because listen, doctrine is so important. What you believe will impact you and how you live your life and how you live as a Christian. And let me tell you, there is so much junk out there that if you believe, it will distract you from what the priorities are to be in your life as a Christian. And there is false doctrine out there that will rip you off, make you an ineffective Christian. And so a pastor has to be on guard, watching. Paul was a pastor in Ephesus, and when he left, he told the elders, "Therefore, take heed to yourselves and to all the flock among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to shepherd the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departure, savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. Also, listen to this, from among yourselves, men will rise up, speaking perverse things to draw away the disciples after themselves." In a local church, there's always that possibility. You got the false prophets from the outside that maybe people listen to on the radio or watch on the TV, or the people that blow by through in crusades, or the books that maybe Christians will read, and you got to deal with that. And that's always actually pretty easy, I think, because you can just, I mean, Paul would even name the false teachers and the false prophets. And I've done that from the pulpit before. But the hardest are those that come into the church, infiltrate, and deceive from within. And that's a possibility too. And a good pastor has to be on the lookout for that, or the pastors and the elders of the fellowship. We've had that here. There was, it's been many years ago now, but I'll never forget, it was a family that came into the fellowship, and this was like the model family. This was like the family anybody would want at their church. Just wanting to jump in, serve, do whatever. The son was going to become the youth leader. They were going to get on the worship team, and they were just going to get involved, and they got on some mission trips and whatnot. And I find out later that when they did get on a mission trip and they had a group from our church out in Juarez, away from our church, this guy began to teach doctrine that was directly opposed to the Bible. And I found out later that this family would go around from church to church trying to steal and bring converts to their way of thinking. And when I found out about that, I said, hey, it's okay, love you. We don't care around here. Did I do that? No. I kicked them out. I kicked them out of the church. I told them they weren't welcome back. That's what needs to be done. A pastor needs to have the guts to do that. Keep that in mind, those of you who want to be pastors. Fourth responsibility. Shepherding the flock means leading the flock. What it says there. Shepherd the flock of God, which is among you, serving as overseers. Literally, providing oversight for the church. The job of a pastor is to administer a local church. Add organization. Add structure. As things flow, make things work among the body of Christ. And I got to tell you, that's been my greatest challenge as a pastor. That's been the hardest thing for me, especially lately, as we've grown much more. And here we find ourselves in a tent. There's a cotton gin. Here we are meeting in a metal warehouse. And what do we do? How do we get everything together? And this is, I'm finding, one of the biggest challenges of being a pastor of a local church. It's administering that and adding structure. And here's why. Understand that the church, for the most part, exists and depends entirely upon volunteer service. And the local church depends, for the most part, entirely on volunteer giving. That's it. Now, you put those two in the mix, and then you put personalities in the mix, I'm telling you, it can get crazy. It can get nuts. And then you get people with their agendas and other people with their agendas, and it's just one of those things that I'm just really working to get my hands around. And one of the things I've learned here recently is you just got to have more people around you that can help you, qualified people. And I wanted to let you know tonight that in a couple of weeks, I'm going to be introducing you to our board of elders. We have a board of elders made of a number of men. I'm also going to be introducing you to the newest board of directors. And we're also putting a building steering committee together composed of men who have done it and will be able to help us. That's the key, is to get that type of, if I can't administer it, find someone who can and learn from them. But that is a challenge. That is the responsibility of a pastor. Keep that in mind if you want to be a pastor. Pastor is also to provide vision for the church in leading the church. I'm to provide the vision for leading us in the carrying out of the Great Commission. Missions. All the various areas of ministry.
All of that. So you can see why your pastors need prayer, right? Will you pray for me? And really, all of the pastors deal with the same thing. You don't know it until you're a pastor. Believe me, nothing could have prepared me for some of the things that you face. But it's also a blast, and it's exciting, and it's an adventure. Few more thoughts and we'll close. Notice the attitude of a pastor, or what the attitude should be. Shepherd the flock of God, which is among you, serving as overseers, not by compulsion, but willingly. Not for dishonest gain, but eagerly. A pastor is to be a pastor because they want to be a pastor. They volunteer to be one. They're not forced. If you are called as a pastor, you'll want to be one. You won't be forced. A couple of months ago, we looked at what Jesus said about the good shepherd in John chapter 10. And remember, he in that passage warned us of hirelings. You don't want a hireling as a pastor, because a hireling only works for money. And they're under compulsion. That person will do the work of a ministry only because they're being paid. It's a career. You don't want that. It also says there that a pastor is not to work for dishonest gain. Oh, man, is that a big, big no-no. Pastors are not to do the work of the ministry for dishonest gain. Pastors are not to do the work of the ministry to get rich. And let me tell you, there are some spiritual con artists out there who have turned their church in a way for them to get rich. And that you have to be aware of. You have to watch out for. I'm telling you, some of these guys that you have on TV and say, send your $1,000, send your $100 vow of faith, and it'll come back to you 50-fold. Look out, watch out. Do you know that there are some people that are in it just for money? And they'll do it. They'll try whatever they can to get money out of people. I remember I used to get a letter every now and then. It was a computer-generated letter. And it would say, Dear Mr. Gray, the other evening I was in my living room having some time with the Lord, and the Lord put you on my heart by name, Mr. Gray. And, you know, it's a computer-generated letter, right? And he told me to tell you that if you would give so much money to my ministry, then you would be blessed, such and such, such and such. Bogus. I heard, and I'm not kidding, I heard of a business in Southern California that received a letter like that. Their business is called Palo Chicken. Palo Chicken. And they got a letter that said, Dear Mr. Chicken. I was in my living room the other night. And the Lord put you, Mr. Chicken, on my heart. It's deceitful. It's manipulation. Oh, those people will pay. Those guys will pay dearly. A spiritual leader is never to fleece the body of Christ. And never, ever to manipulate people out of money. By the way, dishonest gain also includes becoming a pastor to get power. There are some people that become pastors because they have this need to feel important. You know, celebrity, star status. You don't become a pastor for that. And I got to tell you, it can be tough being a pastor because people do pay too much attention to you. And I hate red carpet treatment. And I don't think pastors should require red carpet treatment. A pastor is to be a servant. Amen. Serving in humility. Nor as being lords over those. A pastor is not to serve as one being the lord over a group of people. A pastor is in authority, absolutely, but they're not to operate as an authoritarian, a dictator, owning people, controlling people. Definitely not. One of the most dangerous movements that came around recently is called the shepherding movement, where the pastor was involved in the intimate details of the family's lives, telling them who they could and could not marry, if they were allowed to buy this car or that car, if they were allowed to buy this house or that house. That is not of the Lord. That is not of the Lord. That is a shepherd, a pastor, trying to lord it over someone. The language is clear. Not being lord over those entrusted to you. Pastor, the sheep have been entrusted to you. You don't own them. Who owns them? The Lord owns them. So that's a balance that you have to play as well as a pastor, where you're in authority, but you don't control anybody. You let the Lord control people. My little Connor, from time to time, you know, I'll talk about something about the church, and he'll say, "Dad, well, you can do whatever you want. You're the boss of the church." And I try to tell little Connor, "No, don't think of it that way. Please, and don't tell anybody at the church that I'm the boss of the church. That's definitely not how I want to be perceived at this fellowship. I want to be perceived at this fellowship as a guy who's flying and trying to get you to fly, keep you up in the air, keep you seeking the Lord. It's all about getting people in contact with Christ." And that's how I want to close it. The best shepherd is Jesus. Amen. And I'll tell you what, he's better than any human shepherd because he can be with you all the time. He can help you all the time. And he has the power to truly help you and heal and teach you and lead you. So stay close to him. Soar. Those of you who are considering ministry, considering maybe being a pastor, take this to heart. And also those of you, all of us, are a pastor to someone, in a sense. We all have an influence over somebody. Take what you've learned tonight and apply that to your situation. You want to see people that you have an influence over get to Christ. You want to teach them the Word of God. This could apply to Sunday school teachers, to teachers of small groups, to the men's ministry, to the women's ministry. In that capacity as a teacher and as a pastor, oh, make it your ambition to get people connected to Christ. Lord, you're the good shepherd. You're a great shepherd. You're the best shepherd. Thank you for the reminders tonight. I pray for the elders at this fellowship. I pray that you would put your spirit upon each one. Bless them. Give them wisdom. Give them tenacity. I pray for those in the fellowship that lead people regularly in Bible study, in prayer, in teaching, in ministry. I pray, Lord, that you would put your spirit upon each one. And equip them, strengthen them, use them. Lord, I pray for all those that we have influence over, that we would be a godly influence wherever we're at, in our jobs, in our families, bless. And I want to pray particularly if there be anyone here tonight who does feel called one day to eventually be a pastor, that you would confirm that to them in a number of ways, that you would prepare them for it. In Jesus' name, amen.